You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
Last week I shared a message, no test, no promotion. If you're not going to write the test, if you're not going to pass the test, there's no promotion. Daniel had to go into the lion's den, but after that there was a promotion. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to go into the fiery furnace. But after that, there was a promotion. Joseph had to face the pit, the prison. But after that, there was the palace. Amen? Even Esther, in the palace, she had to face the king. For her to appear before the king was as dangerous as David facing the giant. Amen? She could have lost her life. So just because you're in the palace doesn't mean you're not writing tests. Amen? So, no test, no promotion. So I'm building on that, something that God has really just challenged me in the past week. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. We can love Him because He first loved us. The reason why you can love Him is because Jesus loves you. This is the greatest of all. And I want to talk today about the first love test. Turn to the person next to you, say, first love test. On Thursday, we were sharing a lot of things at the prayer. And we asked the question, if God had to send an angel to you, how would the angel greet you? When the angel appeared to Mary, said, highly favored one. That's great. That's wonderful to be highly favored. Amen. Do not fear, highly favored one. When the angel appeared to Gideon, mighty warrior, do not be afraid. But when the angel appeared to Daniel, the angel said, greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. Oh, wow. Paul writes about Timothy and he said, my beloved son. But he doesn't call him greatly beloved. But to be called greatly beloved. Oh, wow. I believe that's the highest title that heaven can bestow upon anybody. Not bishop, not pastor, not apostle, not prophet, not evangelist, not teacher. Greatly beloved. It's 1 Corinthians 8 verse 13, I think. Just put it up quickly. The Bible says, But if anyone loves God, this one is known by Him. You know what this means? God knows who are those who love Him. Amen? In Revelation 2 verse 4, speaks to the church and He says, I've got this against you, that you've left your first love. He's not saying to them, you don't love me. He's saying you've left your first love. You've started to love other things more than me. And I want to ask you this morning, is Jesus still your first love? Or have you allowed things to come into your heart that's pushed Jesus aside? So a lot of things that the church in Ephesus did right, that was good. But the word says, God says to them, I've got this against you. Your first love, I'm not number one anymore. Are you still giving Jesus the rightful place in your heart? The love is there. I love Jesus, but Jesus has become one of the things that you love. He's not the thing that you love. I'm not expecting a lot of amens this morning. Maybe a few anas. Amen. But I want to make sure that as a church that we are ready for when Christ comes. Amen. So this morning, my sermon topic is the first love test. Is He still your first love? The first love test. Let's pray. Precious Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy, Your tremendous grace. Thank You, Lord, for loving us so much that You send Jesus Christ to this earth. Thank you, Lord, for pouring your love in our hearts so that we can love you back. Help us to always love you and put you first, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, let your people hear your voice upon my voice and take us from where we are to where you want us to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So let's go to the book of Revelations. Amen. I started in Revelations 2, but now we're going to go to Revelations 3. Are you ready? Turn to the person that you say, buckle up. Tell them you're going to be challenged. Amen. So Revelations 3 verse 14, it says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. What is the danger in this? What is the danger in this? You're still loving Jesus, but you've become lukewarm. The devil doesn't mind you coming to church, young people. He just wants you to be lukewarm. Doesn't mind you being involved in Christian service. He just wants you to be lukewarm. God says, I know your works. I know where your heart is at. This morning is really all about the heart, because Christianity is all about the heart. God looks at our heart. This is the benchmark. This is the touchstone. Where is my heart at? Turn to the person next to you, look them in the eyes and say, I love Jesus. Is that when we're going to love God, when we're going to come to church, when we're going to serve Jesus, we ought to serve Him with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our soul, with everything on the inside. My beautiful wife, just come here quickly. I need to love her with everything. If I say, I love you, is that real? That's like lukewarm. That's when I say I love her, there needs to be some passion. We're in the church now, okay? So needs to be some passion. Need to look deep into her eyes and say, I love you. Amen. When I kiss her, I don't want her to, yes, give the Lord a hand. Amen. It's a different kind of kiss that when I greet my sister than when I greet my wife. Amen. There's a passion. There's a love here. Amen. And anybody can see when it's lukewarm. The warning, the danger is when we love half-heartedly. When you love God half-heartedly, that relationship cannot last. And if you love your spouse half-heartedly, this will also not last. So the principle is the same. Jesus said, compare Jesus with the body of Christ, husband and wife. If you want to know how to do it, look at Jesus, how He's doing it. And husbands, follow in His footsteps. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you can go home and give your wife a passionate kiss. Amen. Love you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Love that lacks fervor and passion and commitment. It's lukewarm. And He says, I've got this against you, that you don't love me anymore with all your heart. Matthew 22 verse 37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the call. Been asking myself, am I putting Jesus first? Has Jesus become one of the things in my life, or is Jesus first? And if we say that we are Christians, we're a church. He writes to a church and he says, you as a church, Ephesus, I'm not your first love anymore. You know, it's so interesting. The Bible says, Jesus said, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Can I rephrase that? Not everybody that says they love me with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. The holiday season is coming up. And I told the people on Thursday night at the prayer, I said, faith cannot take a day off. You cannot go this holiday season and think, my faith is going to take off. And become lukewarm through what you allow in your life over December. And the enemy breaks down everything that you've built up that's taken you a year through stupid things that you do. Faith must have action. Love must have action. When we love with all our heart, we can believe with all our heart. Because faith works through love. This is why many people's faith is not functioning at the level it should. It's not a faith issue, it's a love issue. The Bible calls us, instructs us, and says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. James 1 verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If you're only listening and not doing, you're deceiving yourself. Can I say something? People that only hear and don't do are lukewarm. I know. If you're only a hearer and not a doer, you're lukewarm. If we're on fire, we'll be doing, we'll be obeying. Amen? Am I talking to the right people here? Let me just give you a little secret. 90% of sermons that pastors preach is when God is busy with them. And when God is busy with me, I have to share it with you to make sure as a congregation that we're on fire for God. In our generation right now, can I tell you what's one of the biggest dangers? We value our own opinions above the Word of God. I know the Word of God says that, but I think. How many things were you doing and acting and aligning your life according to the Word of God a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years ago that is not aligned anymore? So we have to check our hearts and say, I'm going to do the first love test, Lord. What areas of my life have I become lukewarm? Because if the enemy can get you to be lukewarm, you won't be effective. Come to church, but just don't get involved. You worship, sing the songs with, but criticize afterwards. Am I talking to the right people here? Young people, you come to church, but not to seek Jesus' faith, to seek out a goal. What is your motive? Please, I'd rather you find a goal in church, amen, find her somewhere in the world. But when you come, let your focus be on Jesus, amen. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. You'll find her. God will bring her to you. This whole culture, this generation of us, is a lukewarm culture. Will you be at this event? I'll see if I feel like it. What is I see if I feel like it? That's lukewarm. Give a commitment, yes or no. And then keep to your word and see it through. Am I talking to the right people here? This time of the year when it gets so busy, it's easy to prioritize other things above God. Listen, I know some people have to work on Sundays. I know sometimes you have to be away on Sundays. But if the devil can get you to prioritize everything above God to miss a Sunday, be careful that you don't become lukewarm. Because the Bible says, reminds us not to neglect the assembly of the saints, our gathering together. We should not neglect it, especially as we see the day approaching. Never, ever treat that which is holy as common. If you start treating that which is holy as common, you're probably moving in the direction of being lukewarm. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? The waters at Laodicea, when it was ice cold, it was like rehydrate. You could drink it and it will boost you. Ice cold, you could drink it. It would nourish your body. When you drank it, when it was hot, it had healing in it. But when it was lukewarm and you drank that salt water with the minerals in it, made you vomit. And God compares their spiritual condition to that water. He says, if you're cold, can refresh you. If it's hot, there's healing in it. But when you lukewarm, it's going to get vomit out. Say, Aina. I've not had a lot of amens. Well, just smile at me. Just smile at me once. Just say, Pastor, we love you. You know, when we become lukewarm, when we take the things of this world and we want to paint a fish over it and think it's acceptable to the Lord. What I mean by that, you know, in my days, everybody was a Christian, had a fish at the back of their car. Now I'm giving my age. Deca, do you remember the fish on the car days? Amen. Okay. And we've often sometimes done that. We take leadership that the world is practicing. We want to put a fish over it and say it's Christian leadership, but it's the way that the world does things. The Bible has got its way. It's a standard for our lives. Family, listen to me. The devil knows if you're lukewarm, you cannot be a part of God, because he's going to spit you out. So we think he wants you to pull you down and do evil, bad things. No, he just wants you to be lukewarm, because if you're lukewarm, then you cannot be effective. What is it that you're allowing to flow into your life that's causing you to be lukewarm? Because God's word is the standard, not what we agree upon. Am I talking to the right people? It's very quiet here. Was I the only one that's being challenged by God this week? He says, are you putting me first in everything? Small things. When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that you're looking at? Cell phone. Or you're putting God first. Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. Cell phone, I love you. Instagram, I love you. Facebook, I love you. Am I talking to the right people here? It's sometimes the small things that shows that you love and put her first. It's the small things that show that you put Jesus first. Why is it so dangerous when you become lukewarm? Number one, let's look at what the Bible says. It causes spiritual blindness, verse 17. Because you say, I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. He says, this is my counsel to you. So when you're lukewarm, causes spiritual blindness. The Laodiceans believed that they were rich. All their needs were met. And because all their needs were met, they thought they didn't need God. Isn't that the nature of man? When you have everything, you think you don't need God. But actually, when you are blessed and you've got abundance, you need God even more. Because money can give you a false sense of security. If your trust and your faith is in money, when the money is taken away, where will your faith be? Right down there. But when your faith is in God, your trust is in God, and you love God more than anything else, whether you have or you don't have, it can be constant. It brings a false sense of security that you think that you are blessed. Many people link physical wealth to spiritual riches. I once even sat with a pastor, and he said to me, money is in the natural, But the anointing is in the spirit. And I said, what? I said, that's not true. I says, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of God's presence, His anointing, brings life and change. You cannot say things like that. You're deceiving people. And people are taught things like that, and it sounds nice on your ear. But you start putting your trust in wealth, and you think you're fine, and you don't realize, like the Laodiceans, that you are rich, that you are naked, that you are not clothed. Because your trust is in money. Lukewarm people want to combine their strength with God's strength, not realizing the strength that they have comes from God. And it's actually very arrogant to come and say, Lord, this is my strength, what I have. Let me combine it with your strength. Because every blessing that you have in your life is because of the grace of God. Am I talking to the right people here? A lukewarm Christian is a dangerous Christian. But lukewarmness reveals your heart. The Laodiceans put riches first and not God first. And he said, come, purchase gold refined in the fire. Come and get that which comes from above. Get the anointing, anoint your eyes that you can see the truth. Nobody is as blind as the person that's deceived. Obadiah 1 verse 3 says, the pride of my heart has deceived me. And when I think I don't need God, I'm okay. Enough. Well, the second thing that happens when you're lukewarm, your testimony loses its impact because of the compromise. Because you compromise, your testimony does not have the impact it should have. Am I talking to the right people here? Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm not going to be lukewarm. You know, lukewarm people, they sit down in front of you saying yes, 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 but on the inside they're standing up. They're lukewarm. Matthew 5 verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Lukewarm person say, I'm a Christian, but then you allow everything of the world in your life. It's not Christianity. Let me just say something. The church should look, feel, and be different than the world. We cannot do the things of the world in the church. This is a place where God should be glorified and honored and magnified. Let me just say that. Worship. If this is a place of worship, it needs to be in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. Worldly songs do not glorify God. I don't need to play worldly songs in a church to attract the world to come. That's not the salt that we're talking about. That's the world's ways. And that church will very soon smell and look like the world. What do you taste like? Do you taste like Jesus' flavors, or do you taste like the world's flavors? Am I talking to the right people here? Sometimes we get confused. We want to compromise so much. The first three people that got saved in the book of Acts, not one got saved because of compromise. All of them got saved because of a spiritual experience, authentic experience in the spirit. So you might come here and some things feel weird or strange, or we clap hands and you think, I'm not used to that. But when you go home in your heart will tell you, it was real. It was Jesus. It was peace in my heart. And you might reason here for a while, but the peace here will surpass all understanding. And the world cannot give that kind of peace. That's why we don't have to take hands with the world and become lukewarm as a church. Jesus said, the peace that I give you is not the peace of the world. It's a peace from heaven. The peace of this world is money. Yes, and we need money, but God said, first seek the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and I'll add all these things. Go read Matthew 6. He says, I know that you have need of all these things, but don't become lukewarm. Don't become like the world. The world run after these things and they lukewarm. I've called you to put the kingdom first. When you're lukewarm, you cannot impact your community, your society. Sometimes when people say at work, the guy says, I'm a Christian. He says, I never knew you were a Christian. What undercover Christian nonsense is this? If you're a Christian, be a Christian. Don't read your Bible when you're supposed to work, and don't pray when you're supposed to work. I'm not saying do that. If you're going to have a prayer meeting and you start work at 8, then have it at 7:30. Or if your boss gives you grace to have it during lunchtime, then you do that. But you don't use working hours when you're supposed to work for yourself and say, I'm now a Christian, I'm being persecuted. No, you're just being stupid. Am I talking to the right people here? 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33 says, so stop fooling yourselves. Evil companions will corrupt good morals and character. Some of you, just to put Jesus first, just have to stop being friends with some people that's polluting you and causing you to be lukewarm. Your first love will come back like this if you just stop being friends with the wrong people. We sometimes want to make it all spiritual, but it's just a decision. The last thing that I want to say about lukewarm, if you're lukewarm, you can speak Christianese, you can be spiritual. When you're lukewarm, it will separate you from God. Lukewarmness is dangerous, and it's so deceptive because you're not that ice cold person doing the bad, wicked things. You're just saying, I am a Christian, but half-heartedly. And God says, because you are lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. That's New Testament, Revelation, last book. So I'm not putting a law on you, I'm giving you facts. Don't play around with your heart. If your heart is not on fire, get it on fire. If your heart's not on fire, get it on fire. Amen. So, now the good news. How do we make sure to put God first? Can I just say, sometimes you just need to get somebody to help you a little bit as well. If you're married, say, my wife, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What are we going to do to show that we put God first? And just start doing small, simple things. Amen. Some of you, when you go on holiday, you need to just go find a church. Just go to church. Some of you should just come to church. Even when you're not on holiday. And stop using those lukewarm excuses. I really sometimes, you know, people say, I'm on fire for God. And we don't even see you in church once a month. I think if you're in church every Sunday, you're giving less than 2% of your time for God to come to church, but you're on fire for God. I wonder who would believe that I'm happily married if I gave my wife 2% of my time. I'm committed. I love you. There's 2%. Be happy. It's a lukewarm alert all over. Amen. So what is the solution? Here's the solution. Colossians 3 verse 23. Put your heart and soul into every activity you do as though you are doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. When you pray, pray with all your heart. When you worship, worship with all your heart. When you come to church with all your heart. Prepare your heart before the time. Amen? Like you would prepare to take her out on that date and make sure everything is right. Make sure you've got the money to pay for the meal. Make sure that you're on time. Make sure that you look nice, that you smell nice. Am I talking to the right people? The effort you do with that first love, that woman that you love, or that guy that you love, you do that and even more for God. Then you're putting God first. If you want to know where the standard is, just see how you are treating her, how you're preparing yourself with her, and then do better for God. Because she should be number two and God should be number one. Listen to this, Romans 12 verse 11, amplified. Never lag in zeal and an earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Burning with the Spirit. You know when somebody is on fire, you can see it. The Passion Translation says, be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion towards Him boiling hot. Quick water. Boiling hot, you know, when that kid, you know, some people, if you make them tea or coffee and that, you almost have to burn the water that must be that hot, otherwise they won't drink the tea or the coffee. God wants you to be like that. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Your excitement towards the Lord, keep it boiling hot. Keep it boiling hot. You almost have to do that test every day. Married people, I always tell them, you do this test every day. You do the soft heart test every day. If you want to be happily married, when I marry people, I tell them, I guarantee you, if you do this, I guarantee you, you'll be happily married for the rest of your life. Every day, before you go to bed, you do the soft heart test. Is my heart still soft towards her? If you're a wife, is my heart still soft towards him? If you do that every night, I guarantee you, you'll have a happy marriage. If you want to make sure that you're not going to become lukewarm, do the boiling water test with your heart. Is my heart still boiling for Jesus? David, when he became lukewarm, what did he pray? He said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. The joy of you. Bring that first love that when I encountered you, that first, the joy of your salvation. I want that, Lord. Can I say something? When you ask God in humility and sincerity, help me to get back to that place, He will help you. Some of you, before you'll change, you need a good rebuke. You need a good stop your nonsense now. Not one amen. Okay, let me give you the scripture. Okay, not me, the Bible. Romans 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Same chapter, talking about lukewarmness, he says, repent. When you turn to God, 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to disconnect you from unrighteousness and impart in your life righteousness. Look at this scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Young people, memorize this scripture. Psalm 141 verse 5. Anybody here, I encourage you to go memorize the scripture. It will help you in life tremendously. It says, let the righteous strike me, it shall be kindness. And let him rebuke me, it shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. You need revelation to understand what the psalmist is saying here. He says, let the righteous strike me, it shall be kindness. Any instruction in righteousness is kindness. Any instruction in righteousness, I mean, this word is righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. Any instruction in righteousness is kindness. A rebuke from this word. When God rebukes you and says, stop your nonsense, where he says, stop being lukewarm. When you obey that instruction in righteousness, when you're obedient to God, it releases anointing in your life. Many of you, for yokes to be broken in your life, just stop your stubbornness and obey the word of God, and that anointing oil will start to flow and break that yoke in your life. But you're kicking your heels in and saying, my opinion above the word of God. It is true, but not for me. Am I talking to the right people here? I didn't add one letter. I didn't take away one word. That's what the scripture says. Let the righteous strike me. It shall be kindness. Let us have a heart that says, God, if I need to change in an area, help me to change. Help me to be on fire that you will be my first love. When God is our first love, we can move from where we are to where God wants us to be. Amen. Can I have 3 more minutes? I'm closing with this. If everybody loved like you, prayed like you, gave like you, served like you, helped like you, what would the church look like a year from now? If everybody loved like you, worshipped like you, helped like you, gave like you, served like you, what would the church look like a year from now? Let us allow the God of God's word to become the standard in our lives. May God give us the grace that we will not be counted as those that are lukewarm. But may it be that when an angel comes to Household of Christ, we will hear, greatly beloved Household of Christ. Greatly beloved Household of Christ, because you have loved greatly, I love you greatly. Can we make a decision to put God first and love Him above all in Jesus' mighty name?
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.